Welcome to the White Rabbit Podcast, where we talk about WebXR, that's VR and AR on the web. My name is Jonathan, one of the founders of White Rabbit.
Hi, my name is Florian. I'm the other founder of White Rabbit and a WebXR game developer.
And my name is Darius, intern and WebXR developer at White Rabbit.
Until then, we need to use different types of input. Maybe voice input, for example. Remember, we talked to Elijah about voice input.
Yeah.
And man, I actually love how the entire podcast with Elijah turned out. It was really, really lovely speaking to him. And it was great to have like a totally different, what do you say? In German, you'd say wind, but I don't think you can say that in English. Like a totally new view on different things and just a different type of inspiration for new topics to talk about, especially like augmented reality audio was something that I wasn't following or even thinking of. I think I remember the Bose headset or whatever it is with a 360 degree audio.
The headphones, so they were talking about, for the listeners who aren't up on it, we had a digital meetup in in Mozilla Hubs with the Wonderleap team on the 20th of January 2020.
Yep.
And we had this amazing discussion on all things technology. And one of the topics was the new Bose headphones and their API that they use. So the new Bose headphones are basically glasses that have audio SDK implemented within them. And you have certain controlling capabilities. So they are AR glasses, but the A stands for audio instead of augmented.
No augmented visuals, only augmented audio.
Exactly.
By the way, for people who haven't been to the WebXR meetup by Wonderleap yet, it's open and it's not Wonderleap specific. You can just join anytime. It's on Mozilla Hubs. And it's monthly. So every month we're going to meet in Mozilla Hubs for about an hour, maybe two, depends on how great the conversations are, I guess. Or what the people bring in time. So yeah, maybe join the next one.
But let's get back to the topic we're talking about.
Yeah, we were talking about voice input, or I was trying to segue into voice input because I wanted to ask you how the voice input was going in Pet Game. Since we talked about it with Elijah, you actually looked into it a bit, right?
Exactly. So currently I'm developing a game, and while talking to Elijah, he was talking about speech recognition as an input method in a game or in any kind of software. So I thought, okay, let me check out how to integrate speech into a JavaScript project, especially my in-development game, which is a pet simulation game in WebXR. So it's one of the next games coming out on Construct Arcade. It's still in development. It's a little rough. The animations are working. And all, I'll post some screenshots soon, but follow me on Twitter for that at CheesyVR. But in the end, what I was trying to do was obviously to have this pet that you have to, for example, go make him eat. So you put down food.
What kind of a pet? So that people can better visualize. Is it a cat or a fish or a...
Right now it's just a bear, but there are also four other animals that we're planning on implementing.
So a wild bear?
A wild bear, yes. But it's a friendly bear. It has a smile. It's it has really cute eyes that are also animated.
I find this super cool because who can have a bear as a pet? That's usually not a thing that you can usually have. Like a cat is more normal. But this way in WebVR, you can actually have something that you can't have in reality, because how boring would it be to have a dog or a cat there, right?
It's a fantasy product, let's call it that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I want to have an optional input method of making the bear eat the food with voice commands by telling it to maybe go catch something that you throw, or like I said, eat that steak that I just put down, or go drink, or go sleep, or something like that. Probably not go sleep, that sounds really horrible to tell an animal to go sleep, but you get the gist. For that, I had to look up, obviously, what kind of speech recognition technology is available for JavaScript, and turns out there's multiple options. One of them has Johnny suggested to me, and he can talk a lot more about that. But the one I thought, which was also pretty interesting, is Anyang. It basically wraps the Web Speech API, which is currently only supported by Chrome of the big browsers, so Firefox doesn't yet support it. What you can just do is just say certain commands or define certain commands that the system will react on. So what happens is these commands are recorded by your microphone that you allow access to, obviously, when you start the application. And these commands are then sent via the web API onto servers, are then deciphered and sent back. And you can obviously call any function by getting these events. And you can also do certain complex stuff, like, for example, if we had a text-based game, it could say, go west, or we could go say go north or something like that. So we can have certain variations in our speech that are still registered as parts of the whole command.
Okay, so Anyang is less of a speech recognition library, but a like command processing library on top of browser-based speech recognition.
Yeah, it basically wraps the web speech API. It's 2 kilobytes big, so when it comes to size, it's pretty good, and the web speech API is implemented in the browsers. So
yeah, that's pretty impressive. What would the alternative have been?
So the alternative would have been C library that is pretty famous in the speech recognition community. That is, it's Pocket Sphinx. It's been compiled into web with WebAssembly for the web.
Yeah, it's Pocket Sphinx,
and it uses a lot more complex models for speech recognition. So yeah, it has a lot of custom behavior that you can define. You can train your model. You can also make it use other languages. You can do all kinds of stuff with it. It's crazy.
Or at least it exposes them rather than the web speech API, I suppose.
So I've looked into that, but I haven't used it personally, but it definitely allows for a lot more control. It's also a lot bigger. It's around 5 megabytes. And setting it up is also a little more complicated, not too complicated, but it's definitely not for beginners. It's definitely more intermediate.
Yeah, it's probably technically more advanced, but I would assume that the Web Speech API may even be more like, it depends, of course. If you train your model properly with Pocket Sphinx, then you might get better accuracy, especially since you can train it to exactly your set of words that you want that to recognize. So if you have exactly like eat or sleep or catch or whatever, then you can train your Pocket Sphinx model to be exactly perfect for exactly these words, which is weird though, because it starts recognizing other words as these words also, whereas the Web Speech API is way more generic or general. But obviously you can only use words that actually exist. So if you start making up words or something like that, I don't think that'll work with that pretty well. On the other hand, it's built by built and trained by Google, who coincidentally also make the speech recognition for Google Assistant and so on. So I don't think that's too bad. Mozilla, I think, is working on a also open source speech recognizer based on Baidu's speech recognition method. There is like a that's a company that specializes on speech recognition and such. But the idea is that they also have a website where you can donate voice samples that they can use for learning their deep learning models. Okay? So it's, I think it's called Mozilla Deep Speech or something like that. And I guess that is what they'll eventually use to implement the Web Speech API. At least I would assume.
Yeah, they'll probably do something like that. I don't think it's going to take that long until they have it implemented also, because they already have like a description for the speech recognition API on their website. They are already preparing to have it done probably.
I think they are also know how to do that because they have speech recognition in Firefox Reality. You can input searches with voice, as far as I know. So, like, they must be knowing what they're doing. Anyhow, I guess the big advantage of a web API versus Pocket Sphinx is that Pocket Sphinx is, I think, 3 megabytes big, versus web API obviously doesn't take any memory in addition to the browser, which is already installed. So
I think the 3 megabyte size is rather big, but in the end, if you're trying to have a custom solution, I think it's still the better way to go. So if you're going to use something like all kinds of weird commands with aliens in a game or something like that, use to communicate with them, then you might want to
learn like an alien language.
Yeah, yeah, something like that, and then
reminds me of Men in Black for some reason.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah, that actually, wouldn't it be cool to use this voice recognition to build like a language learning platform? That would be really nice. I mean, a third option that I think we haven't looked into yet for the virtual pet game is using cloud APIs like Google Cloud voice recognition APIs. But usually there, after a certain volume, you pay per whatever second or character or whatever of translation of the voice to text. Mm. So I don't think that's necessarily a viable option for entirely free products, except if they're like very well monetized through ads or whatnot.
Pricing is definitely a factor in it. That might also be one of the things that Mozilla is holding back on releasing a version for the speech API.
Yeah, I heard they had some layoffs. Maybe they're like in financial trouble, or at least like not trouble, but slight danger or whatever.
Possible. It's possible, but we'll see where it goes. I hope the thing that I implement is in German, we say für die Katz. I hope it doesn't go to waste. But it's going to be optional, and people who get to use it might like it. And I hope the game will be a success. Yeah.
All right, yeah. Another release we can look forward to is Flappy Bird VR.
Yeah.
That we have integrated into Construct Arcade and will release sometime this week. In case you haven't checked it out, you can check it out on Construct Arcade very, very soon. And also Darius, who couldn't make it today because he's ill, but he has been working on a game for pretty long now. And he's, I guess, very excited to release it also very, very soon. He's cleaning up some bugs and just rounding off the game a bit, polishing it a bit. It's renamed now from Endless Rails to Iron Rails.
Yeah.
Right?
And we've already talked about it a little bit on this podcast.
Yeah. Have you recently checked it out?
I have, and it's pretty cool. It's really gotten to a shape where I'm actually having a little bit more fun. It's getting a little bit more difficult. There are still bugs like me hitting multiple characters at the same time, or hitboxes being too big, or the balancing not being quite there yet. But it's nice to have a shooter game, I feel like. I mean,
yeah,
shooter games are like the thing on VR, just way too many on classic VR. But I think we only have 4 shooters on Construct Arcade.
I remember when we started making VR games back in 2013, just hobby-based, we said we don't want to make just another VR shooter, because VR shooter is the genre that is known to work well, but known to just kind of work. And yeah, it was like, we want to do something new and try to figure out what VR can be used. And I think if the people behind Beat Saber would have just made just another VR shooter, then there would have never been such a great game. So
yeah, that's also what I like about the web ecosystem of games with like Flash, is people have made all these kinds of crazy games. There were also games that were generic, that were basically things that the developers made to learn to create some initial project. But I think everyone goes through projects where they just start and try things, and they just then try newer and newer things with their next products. And that's what I am kind of trying to do also with a pet game, is make a pet simulation game, which I've never done before. So that's, yeah, that's, I think, a cool thing about the web.
Yeah, and I know I bring it up a lot, but Stromlines games are very special in this sense that they are always very, very new twists on how to use WebXR. For example, the evasion mechanic in Griddles, or like the walking mechanic in Cross the Street.
Yeah.
So those are like really, really cool. And I like how he thought about how to use VR so that it's not superfluous and just the add-on on top of the 6 stuff controllers or something.
Exactly. They are doing definitely very interesting things.
Yeah. Something that you've brought up quite a bit is that we can't really go in-depth when we do shorter podcast recording sessions, especially for our first, I think, 12 episodes or something. We never went over 15 minutes and hence only touched upon topics really, really lightly. Whereas the podcasting format usually allows for people to go really, really in depth. And that's something we managed to do together with Elijah, because we did it in one sitting, more or less, with a short break in between of almost 2 hours or something. And that was really, really cool, because just a conversation went somewhere and you were able to speak about things for as long as you wanted, because you had all the time you wanted. And podcasts like the Tim Ferriss Show or Joe Rogan Experience or Tom Bilyeu's podcast, all of these podcasts really allow the guests usually to express everything they want to say, well, up to an hour or more.
And I think it's also interesting to see how we just, I mean, we did a quite long podcast today, and I think it's a great idea to put more research time before the podcast into the topics, and specifically go into these topics to talk about them and tell the audience about it. And I think we should continue that, but also there's also benefit in having short formats. So that's what I was wondering, what the audience might like. So we've actually put up a poll that we would like our listeners to give us quick feedback on. It's really short, and it's just a couple of questions asking you whether like long formats or short formats and things like that.
Yeah. The, I think, biggest change that we would make if we'd go for a more weekly basis. So there's basically two options. Either we go to a weekly schedule, which would mean that we would record one big podcast and then release that once a week. Or we do a daily schedule, which would probably be shorter discussions with us three or us two, or a guest recording cut down like our podcast together with Elijah.
Yeah, so please check out the link down below in the description about for a Google Forms poll that we would like your answers to. And just read the questions, answer them, and answer them as you feel it's the truest to you. We'll definitely be looking at the feedback from that and would like to hear from you.
And please, 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 if you have anyone you want to have on the White Rabbit podcast as a guest, make that suggestion. Also, either directly via Twitter and best at the guest in your tweet as well. We would love your suggestions. We have a couple of ideas ourselves, obviously, but if you make them aware of the podcast, then we are more likely to actually get them on the show. So thank you in advance for that, and thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and have a great day, evening, morning, whatever you have. Bye.
Bye-bye.